Now, if Satan was at work trying to accomplish his motive in the Garden of Eden, and that motive was to murder, and he did it through lying, if he was at work in the Garden of Eden, and he's still at work today, and he is, or the Apostle Peter wouldn't say in 2 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil's walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wouldn't warn you about that if Satan wasn't still at work. He's still using the same tactic. He's still using the same method. His motive is the same. It's to kill. It's to rob. It's to destroy. It's to murder. His motive is the same. And he's still using the same method to lie. So this morning we're looking at four lies that ruined the world. Open your Bibles up with me to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. We're early in the Bible. That perfect world has been created. And then in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1, it begins with the word now. Now. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave it unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto them and said unto him, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded you that you should not eat? Lie number one, look with me, verse number one. Lie number one, God is not good. Look at it. Now the serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, yes, God hath said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. It's a half-truth, isn't it? It's a half-truth. But you know what a half-truth is? A half-truth is a lie. It's a lie. When Satan's talking, what's he doing? He's lying. He's lying. Has God, you know, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now, what did God say? What did God say? Well, look what Adam said, what Eve said, verse number 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Yeah, he said we could eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. He said that. Look back into Genesis chapter 2. Keep your finger where we're at. Verse number 16. Genesis 2, verse number 16. And the Lord commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. What did God say? Well, God had said, yeah, we can eat. We can eat. We can do that. But Satan lies to us. See, Satan wants to get us to question God. And he begins by getting us to want to question the goodness of God. Well, God hadn't got your best interest in mind. He's not looking out for your best interest. And I'm going to take you back to Genesis chapter 3. Look in Genesis chapter 3. The woman has said, oh, we may eat of every tree of the garden. That's verse number 2. Look at verse number 3. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Oh, see there? God's not good. If God had been good, he wouldn't have even put that tree in the garden. And I've heard people make those kind of statements. And what is it doing? It's Satan putting in our minds that God's not always good. Listen, folks, I don't care who he is. I don't care how many credentials he has behind his name. I don't care what school he's been to. I don't care how cute he is. If there is a man who's putting in your mind that God is not good and always good, that man's on the devil's side and not God's. God is good. But the devil wants us to believe, oh, God's not always good. He's not always good. You know, even when God said, now, that tree, don't eat of it because you'll die. He was being good, wasn't he? He was being good. He had their best interest in mind when he said, don't eat of that tree. You'll die. We had a little one in our house. She's not so little anymore. But when she was little, Sadie had come to the house, and before she got there, we put everything we didn't want her getting her hands on up high where she couldn't touch it. But we heat with wood at our house. We have one of those wood heaters, and I couldn't lift it up. And so I'd say to Sadie, Sadie, you can touch anything in here. Don't worry about it, sugar. It's been Sadie-proofed. Don't worry about it. You can touch anything in here, but don't touch that stove. Now, was I being good to Sadie or mean to Sadie? I'm being good to Satan. When God even said to them, don't eat of that tree. You eat of that tree, you'll die. God was being good. But Satan puts the question in the mind of Eve. You know, God's not being good here. He's not being good that he wouldn't let you eat of that tree. He's not being good to you. Let me just cite some verses for you. You'd know these. Psalms 37, verse number 4. Delight always in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Haven't you found that to be true, Christians? Haven't you just found that to be true? That when you love the Lord and you just want to do what the Lord wants for you, in your life, that he gives you every one of those desires. He doesn't withhold one of them. They're all right there for you. Right there for you. Psalms 84, verse number 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Now listen to this. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Now, I'm just asking you, common sense, Christians, haven't you found that to be true? That if you have it in your heart, you have it in your desires, this is what you want. I want to walk uprightly. I want to walk right before my God. I'm not going to do it perfectly, but I want to walk right before my God. And when you have that attitude, he withholds nothing. He withholds no good thing from you. Hey, bring it to the New Testament. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Now listen, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Now isn't that true? He giveth us richly all things to enjoy. But Satan's good at what he does. His motive is murder. He wants to separate you from God. He wants to kill you spiritually. He wants to kill your children. He wants to kill your grandchildren. Are you going to let that happen? What's his method? He lies. And his number one lie, the first one in the Garden of Eden, was God's not good. God is not good. And you don't want to serve a God that's not good. You don't want to do that. Is Satan still using that tactic on men today? You know he is. You know he is. Well, if there was a God, he wouldn't let. And here you go. And you go down a whole litany. Well, I'm going to tell you what. If God let it happen, it was good. If God allowed it to happen, it's good. It's good. Well, explain this one to me, preacher. I don't have to explain it to you. All I need to do is tell you, I know what my Bible says about my God. My God is good. I got a good friend right now named Mike Napier, who is suffering through cancer. He's undergoing chemo right now. Sometimes he's well enough, strong enough to endure the chemo. Some weeks he goes, he just can't do it. But I don't care what it is. Mike's going to call me. And Mike's going to say, God is good. And God is good all the time. Amen, church. Don't let Satan kill you. How will he do it? By lying to you. By getting you to question whether God's being good to you or not. God is good. God is good. Lie number two. Lie number two. Notice it. God is not truthful. And the serpent said, verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Again, it's putting in the mind of the woman. It's putting in the mind of the woman. God's not really telling you the truth. He may have said you'll surely die, but you're not going to surely die. You're not certainly going to die. Don't let him fool you. God's not always truthful. He's not always truthful. Satan still using that tool on us today? Oh yeah, well, I know God said that if you don't obey the gospel, you could be you'll be doomed to hell. I read it, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 7, beginning. Do you who are troubled rest with us? The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in a flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of his power. I know that it says that, but a good God, he wouldn't send someone to hell. Satan ever used that? He used it in the Garden of Eden. Would he use it today? God's not truthful. You shall not surely die. Let me ask you something. We read it just a moment ago. Let me ask you something. As soon as Eve ate that fruit and gave it to her husband, and they both ate, what does it say happened? And both their eyes were opened, and they realized they were what? They were naked, right? So they sewed up fig leaves. And then it says, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the evening. And what did they do? They hid themselves. They're already spiritually dead, folks. Spiritual death is separation from God. Isaiah chapter 49. Verse number one. The Lord's arm is not short that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Sin separates us from God. They've sinned. They've transgressed God's commandments. They've violated his will. They're separated. They're spiritually dead. Yeah, and God told them the truth or not? God had told them the truth. In the day you eat thereof, your spiritual life. Satan's still using it. You know, even among us. Well, you know, I know he said they'd surely die, but they didn't die. They didn't die. I mean, he drove them out of the garden. We'll read in the next chapter, in the fifth chapter, we'll read about that Adam lived a good long life. He didn't die. He died. He died, and he died then. He died spiritually. God didn't lie. God didn't lie. The Jews of all the people on the face of the earth, the Jews God chose to give his law, to give them the written law. And what did it do? Instead of producing in their lives what it should have produced, God meant for it to produce, they became judgmental of everyone else. And while the Jews could look at the Gentiles and say, look at those Gentiles, how they sin. They were doing exactly the same thing, but they couldn't see it in themselves. So Paul, as he writes to the church at Rome in Romans chapter 1, let me cite a couple of them for you. Verse number 18, Romans 1, verse number 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Paul makes it plain who the unrighteous is. Is the unrighteous God? Is he the one that's unrighteous? No, the unrighteous are those who hold the truth. He's talking to the Jews. Who hold the truth in unrighteousness. It never did what was intended to be done for them and in them and through them. Paul will turn his attention to the Gentiles, of course, and talk about, yes, they have sinned. They have. And God gave them up. God gave them up. But notice how he begins in chapter 3 with the Jews. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest. Notice that. The righteousness of God is manifest. Is God righteous? Yes. The righteousness of God is manifest without the law, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. That's exactly what the law and the prophets taught. Even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness, to declare his righteousness, to show his righteousness. You can't think about, deeply think about, what God through Jesus Christ was doing and is doing for us and not see the righteousness of God. Jesus is declaring the righteousness of God for the sins that are past through the forbearance of God to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and justifier of him that believes. Yeah, God's truthful. He's truthful. Satan's still using it. He's still using it. Lie number three, is God righteous? Look, it's still in there in verse number four. It's implied there. You shall not surely die. Well, God wouldn't condemn you for that. I mean, come on. If he's good, he's good all the time. Listen, folks, don't miss it. God is good and he's good all the time. God is righteous and he's righteous all the time. But a righteous God is also a God of justice. He wouldn't condemn you. I mean, I just can't believe that a loving God would do that. He will. He will. And he's still using that same tactic on us today. What's his motive? His motive is murder. He wants us to question our God. He does it through lies. He lies to us. He lies to us. Hey, I'm going to take you back to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse number 2. Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. Listen to this. Thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same thing. But we're sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and do the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise thou the riches and the goodness and forbearance and longsuffering of God, not knowing that the goodness of God should lead you to repentance? But after the hardness and impenitent heart you have, you treasuring up for yourself wrath unto the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he gives them eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, he gives them indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. Of the Jews first, and also of the Gentile. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentiles. For there is no respect of person with God. My God's righteous to everybody. Doesn't make any difference whether I'm black or white, yellow or brown. Doesn't make any difference whether my ancestry is Gentile or my ancestry is Jewish. If I seek righteousness and I work righteousness, he'll bless me with eternal life. But it doesn't make any difference either, those things. If I choose to seek contentiousness and don't obey the truth but obey unrighteousness, then he'll give me indignation. He'll give me wrath. He'll give me destruction. But Satan, his motive is murder. His method is to lie. He's still at work with it today. Don't let him do that to you. Don't let him do that to you. Lie number four. God is not gracious. God is not gracious. Look at verses 4 and 5 with me again. Genesis chapter 3. And the serpent said unto the woman, you'll not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. See, what you don't understand is God not being gracious to you. This God stuff, he wants that for himself. And he knows that if you eat of that tree, that you'll become as gods. He doesn't want that for you. God's not gracious. Satan's real good at what he does. A half-truth is a whole lie. Listen, it's just a little word. It's just a little difference. But listen. Listen. God never, the promise was never made to us that we would be as gods, but He does want us to be like God. Just a little different, isn't it? He did not say, you'll be as gods. I want you to be like God. He wants me to be like Him. He wants you to be like Him. Am I going to be Him? No. No. But Satan takes it, just makes a little twist on it, put a little slant on it, gets me to believe it. Well, it sounds like the truth. It sounds like the truth. But it's a lie. And what does a lie do? A lie murders. You're of your father, the devil, he said. He said, that's what Jesus told those Pharisees. You're of the father, your devil. You do what he wants to do. You do his desires. What's his desire? His desire is to murder. His method is to lie. I'm telling you, you want to kill me. Who wants to kill you? They did. They did. Just a little slant. Just a little twist on it. God's not being gracious. He's not being gracious. But God wants me to be like God. To be like Him. Listen to this one. This is Revelation chapter 2, verse number 22, verse number 4. And they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. Now what does that mean? His name shall be in their foreheads. They'll be like God. They won't be God, they'll be like God. His name will be in their foreheads. Now what's right back there? Well, some of y'all would wonder about me. But what's right back there? It's the mind, isn't it? It's the mind. And His name will be in their foreheads. His name will be in their minds. He'll be their God. But they'll be like Him. That's God's desire for you. That's God's desire for me. But God's not gracious. God's not gracious. He doesn't want that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 9. After all, it's written, eye hath not seen, ear has not heard, it hath not entered into the mind of men, the good things that God has in store for them that seek Him. That's my God. That's my God. But Satan's motive is murder. Satan's method is to lie. And these four lies ruined our world. And they're still at work today. So here's the truth. It's time for the truth. The truth is God is good. God is good. Don't wonder about it. God is good. Well, then why did this happen? God is good, even if that happened. Yes, He's good. He's good. God is good. God is truthful. He's going to tell you the truth every time. Now, what's Satan going to do? If he's talking, he's lying. If God's speaking, what's he doing? He's telling you the truth. God is truthful. God is righteous. Hey, how did Curtis end his class this morning? With, if God made a promise, what's going to happen? If God made a promise, it's going to happen, right? It's going to happen. God is righteous. God is righteous. And God is gracious. I mean, no sooner, folks, no sooner did they partake of that fruit, did they eat of that fruit? Their eyes were open. They realized they were naked. They sewed up fig leaves for themselves and they hid themselves. Separated from God. Dead. dead. And no sooner did that happen. In fact, I'd argue with you before that ever happened. But God told him in Genesis chapter 15 what he had already done from before the foundation of the world. In Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15, he said that there'll be one who's born seed of a woman. And he'll crush the head of Satan. Satan will bruise his head, his heel, but he'll crush the head of Satan. Speaking of Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was slain from before the foundation of the world. Is that a gracious God or what? And Satan is still at work today, but never, never stop remembering. God's also at work. And he's gracious. He's so gracious that if there is one here this morning that's not one of his children, has not yet become a follower of his son Jesus Christ, he wants you. And he's giving you the opportunity, even right now, to become a Christian. If you're here, you're a believer. You'll change with an attitude of repentance. You'll be buried with him in baptism. Buried with Jesus Christ in baptism for the remission of your sins. You can be raised to a new life. A disciple of Jesus Christ. A follower of his. A Christian. And you can go home today forgiven of your sins. A child of God. Graciousness. Graciousness. To a child of God, to one of his children who's wandered astray, he's still at work today. Jesus is still the good shepherd who, even when one of the sheep was lost, what did the shepherd do? He left the 99 safe, right, in the wilderness. Don't miss it. We say the fold. It says the wilderness. Now, which is right? He left the 99 safe in the wilderness, and he went out, and he sought the one that was lost. And how long did he seek it? Until he found it. Until he found it. And then what did he do? He bound up its wounds, poured in wine and oil, laid it on his shoulders, went back. Rejoice with me. Rejoice with me. An erring child of God, you need to remember God is still gracious. And he always will be because that's who he is. He's gracious. So if you as a child of God have wandered from the fold, you can come home. You can come back. He'll gladly accept you. This morning, if you're here and you stand in need of the invitation of Jesus Christ, we'll help you anyway if you'll let us know of your needs by making your way to the front. Do that now as together we stand and sing.